can't think of a more appropriate or maybe more perfect song for a day like this than the one that Randy just sang for us. Because as we do the Lord's Supper, as we participate in that, we participate in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. You know that on the days when we do the Lord's Supper, rather than just a full-blown sermon, I try to limit my remarks to help us focus and think about exactly what we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22, and I'll read verses 14 through 23. This is Luke's account of what happened that Passover evening. And you'll remember that they sat at the table to eat the Passover meal. And then Jesus helped them understand how he fit into all of this. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time that we share. I thank you for Jesus and this memorial that we celebrate. And I pray that each of us might see him in a very real way in this time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Different denominations, different churches practice the Lord's Supper in different ways. Some do it once a year, some do it once a month, some do it every single time that they meet. To some churches, Catholic Church is an example, Lutheran Church to a degree, it is called a sacrament. And the meaning is that there is power in the bread and the wine itself, the power in the supper. And then there are those of like us that believe that the Lord's Supper is a memorial. The thing is, when something is done over and over and over, it has a tendency to become commonplace. And so I want to tell you a story that happened one time. I'm told it's true. And I kind of related with it because my first church was up in that cold area of Ohio. It seems a young pastor had come out of seminary in the South, and he had gone up north to pastor this church, and he was called to be the senior pastor. And about the third time that they celebrated the Lord's Supper together, he just could sense that there was some tension among the people. And so he asked this old deacon in the church, his confidant, he said, "What's the matter? I sense there's a problem." And the old deacon said, "Well, Pastor, you just don't administer the Lord's Supper properly." And the pastor looked at him. He said, "Well, I don't understand. Can you explain that to me?" And he said, "Well, sure." He said, "Our old pastor, who was here for over 20 years, always did it this way. He would, right before the Lord's Supper, he would go over to the side and he would bless the church building, I guess. And then he would come back and he would do the Lord's Supper. And you don't do that. You don't do it right." Well, the young pastor couldn't understand the significance of going over to the side, bowing his head. Yeah. So he called the old retired pastor. And he said, "What's that all about?" And the old pastor said, "Well, you know, in my older years," he says, "I got to where I was really cold-natured." And he said, "It's cold in that sanctuary anyway." And he said, "I didn't want to pick up one of those plates with my cold hand and drop it." He said, "So I would go over to the radiator, and I would take just a moment over the radiator and get my hands warm, and then I would do the Lord's Supper." And yet the people assigned some spiritual value to what the old pastor had done. You see, it's not a repetitious tradition that we carry out here. Rather, it's remembering Jesus and what he has done for each one of us. First of all, it calls to mind at least three things. The bread calls to mind the broken body of the Lord Jesus. I think about the nails in his hands. I think about the nails in his feet. I think about the spear in the side. I think about the lashes on his back. I think about the crown of thorns on his brow. Jesus took a beating for us that day. It was a substitutionary atonement. You see, it's a theological thing. Now, don't get all caught up in that. What it means simply is that he gave his life for ours. He died in our place. And he paid the price for our sin. I had something wonderful happen to me. And it was not like it was this huge, great, big thing, but I thought it was so thoughtful. I was going through the drive-thru line at McDonald's. Now, I go through and I get coffee. And I go all the time when you can get any size coffee for a dollar. And I say, "Give me the one that hardly fits through the window." I get the big coffee with three cream. If you're ever going to store for me, large coffee, three cream. And so I was in the line for McDonald's. And I'm kind of oblivious when I'm in the car. You know, I'm kind of looking around, but I don't see a lot. And I didn't notice who was in front of me. And I finally pulled up. I probably cursed them because they were going slow. And I pulled up to my turn at the window. And the girl passed me out the coffee. And she said, "Have a nice day." And I said, "What?" And I'm getting out my dollar, you know. $1.07, actually. And she said, "No, sir, you don't owe anything." I said, "I don't owe anything." She said, "No, so the lady that went through in front of you paid for you." And I guess what she had done, and I won't call her name because it would embarrass her, But I guess what she had done was ask, how much is that guy's bill too? And she had paid it. And I will never forget that, and it's a marvelous illustration. That's what God did. God paid the price for every sin I've ever committed, but more than that, he paid ahead with the shed blood of his son for every sin that I'll ever commit. Praise his name. And so the first thing we need to remember is his broken body. You see, his body was broken that we might be made whole. In the book of Isaiah and in chapter 53, there's a precious verse of scripture. In verse 5, the Bible says, "But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, our peace, fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed." We are healed. The prophet Isaiah shared the word of God about the Son of God all those years before Jesus ever came. And it happened just like he said. Secondly, though, as we remember, we need to remember the cup. The cup is the blood of the new covenant. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 24, the first covenant that God made with the people and sacrifice was offered, and Moses took half the blood of the sacrifice and he sprinkled it on the altar. He took the other half, and with a hyssop branch, he sprinkled the people with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the point was simply this: the blood of sacrifice sanctified those people. It drew them into a covenant, an old covenant with himself. You know, every time that there's a covenant entered into, God is the one that initiates it. He initiated the old covenant that day, and the people always remembered. On the day that the people came out of Egypt, they were protected under the shed blood of the Lamb on their doorpost. And when Jesus Christ came into this world, he brought a new covenant in his blood at the cross. The blood of sacrifice for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin paid the price for my sin. Third, though, he calls us to remember that he's coming again. In the passage I always use for the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I love verse 28. Says, "But let a man examine himself, and so eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks, he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if it does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." He said that we should do this until the Lord comes. We need to remember he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming. He's coming back to receive us unto himself, and he calls us to life each and every day. And we're called to live in that light of his second coming. Do you know he could come today? I don't know about you, but that thrills me. The thought of that thrills me. And if he doesn't come today, you know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be thrilled because he might come tomorrow. That's right. And if he doesn't come tomorrow, you see, the Christian wakes up thrilled every morning because this could be the day. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. He not only calls to mind his sacrifice, but he also calls us to action. He says there are three things that we need to do. He said, first of all, we need to remember. We need to remember whose we are and how we came to be who we are. I thought about that, and I thought about 1 Peter. And beginning in verse 17 in chapter 1, it says, "And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ," the blood of Christ. And so we need to always remember whose we are and the price he paid. We need to reflect on our relationships. Our relationships. Let a man examine himself. Are you right with God? Are you right with your brothers and sisters? At this point, I'll tell you this. If you're not right with your brothers and sisters, you're not right with God. That's what the Bible says. And the last thing that we need to also take action with is to repent. There are attitudes of the heart and actions of the hands that each and every one of us need to repent of. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Lord and when I participate in his supper, I want to be clean. Yes, sir. I want to be clean. And so we take a moment now just to share simply in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's first of all consider what we're doing. Reflect on why we're doing it. But most of all, respond that we might do it properly. That way we might be cleansed. It might be that you need to come and take a moment, bow at this altar. Say, "God, help me. God, forgive me." Might be that even sitting in your seat, you need to say, "Oh God, God, help me." Father, we love you, and we bow before you in this moment. And we pray, Father, that you do what only you can do in each of our lives. Just strip away all of the trappings that we might see us as you see us and that we might repent. God, help us. God, help us. Work in each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation for the Lord's Supper is simply this. Prepare your heart. by examining your heart. And so as the men come who are going to do the supper for us, administer it, I pray that each one of you will take a moment and examine yourselves.